Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was head or tail.
Lemon face. Lemon face. All right.
One, two, three, four.
Five, six, seven, eight. Nine, ten.
Dang.
See, in a just universe, that would have 350 million.
In a just universe.
Instead, we just got to stick to BTS.
God damn it.
Yeah.
What episode is this? 277?
They released, I don't know, because we haven't released
one. Oh, fuck off.
I lost track.
Not like I haven't been busy getting this goddamn setup together.
What did we release last?
I don't know, dude. My phone's telling me it's time to go to bed.
Okay, 74. Sputnik is 75.
76
Maniac
is recorded.
Cop is 76?
Yeah, this is 77. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Who Goes Your Podcast, episode 277. This is Jorge.
One, two, three. This is Matt. Damn. Hello.
Wow. Hi. This is Rhett.
How do you follow that up?
You don't.
Yeah, you don't. You just take it and go with it.
Can we start over and reverse the order? You do that last.
You mean like 3, 2, 1. Now the show's begun. Now the show's begun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah.
Hugo's their podcast. Wow. What an intro for a first time listener. Wow. Yeah,
they're like, oh, let me turn that shit off.
Let me turn that down. I can hear that in stunning clarity, but these idiots.
That's a,
I would think the exact opposite.
Good microphones directly in front of their faces.
Yeah. Oh. Well, thanks to Patreon, we do have new equipment.
We do.
New mics, new stands, new mixer.
I mean, I'm still working with the same equipment.
What is up with Patreon, my dude?
Patreon.com/WhoGoesTherePodcast is full of people who give us money to continue doing this show and, buy this stuff that we need to do the show because we're all fucking poor and we don't have money to do that. So you go to Patreon.com/WhoGoesTherePodcast and you get cool stuff in return, like exclusive content, bonus episodes, and access to the Patreon-only Discord. So, go to patreon.com/WhoGoesTherePodcast and give us some fucking money. And we got a brand new homie this week by the name of Daniel Goularte. I believe he's an Italian ghost with that last name.
God damn, that's the way to keep your Patreon members. Robert Goulet.
Doesn't that sound like an Italian ghost? Goularte.
It's not Boularte, you motherfucker.
He's a ghoul. That's the thing.
He's a zombie.
Yeah, Goularte.
He's not a ghost.
He's still Italian zombies.
Oh, fuck.
So thank you to Daniel Goularte. And if you want us to make fun of your name, go to patreon.com/WhoGoesTherePodcast.
Well, thank you anyways, Goularte.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Well, if you weren't expecting that, you don't obviously listen to the show.
Yeah, that's great.
Oh, boy. How are you guys?
Hanging out. Just chilling.
Hanging out?
Yeah.
He's gone full Kurt Russell mode now. What do you mean?
Kurt Russell just hangs out, bro?
Yeah, kind of. He doesn't say same old shit.
Like it when I say that, but it's the same old shit. It's all the same. I did get a tattoo, which is cool. It got shared on social media a lot.
It did quite a bit.
So that was fun.
The continuation of your mutant blast upper thigh.
Yep. It got mutant blasted for 5 hours.
Mutant Blast is a film that came out earlier. It came out last year.
You're self-making fun of yourself, but I appreciate what you're doing now.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Takes all the weight off my shoulders to have to make fun of him.
Well, good.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a good movie. We did an episode on it. I don't know, back in May with some wrestling star.
Some wrestling star who's talking shit about my tiny arms on Twitter.
Twitch. Tiny arms, dude.
On Twitch. And then I went in there and I'm like, what's this I hear about my tiny arms? And he's like, they're tiny, like your brain. So like,
damn.
I'm going to have to kick his fucking ass now.
You're dumb and weak.
Yeah, that's basically what he said.
Like, what's left?
That's what he said.
And you can't fuck good.
Yeah. And then he wants you to do him a favor? What the fuck?
We'll see what happens when his website just disappears randomly.
Frick you, Tom.
Yeah.
We didn't say any of that.
So yeah, in addition to Mutant Blast, I showed my mother-in-law Mutant Blast, and she was quite a fan. That was good.
I thought you were going to say quite offended.
No, she loved it. She loved Jean-Pierre the Lobster, and you know, I would tell you what else I've been watching, but I don't really fucking remember. I've been watching a shitload of She-Ra. You know, the cartoon female continuation of He-Man. That's good shit. I've watched like 3 seasons of that this week. And I've been watching a lot of YouTube channel called That Channel. And it's all just like true crime stuff told by a delightful young Irish guy or English guy or something with quite the nice accent. It's good to listen to. So if you want some true crime awesomeness, check out That Channel on YouTube. And Dead by Daylight got a graphical remake, and it's fucking gorgeous.
It's better?
Yeah, they redid everything. The fucking generators look really cool, and now instead of just doing this along them where it looks like they're skimming a book, they're actually like putting wires together. The Springwood stage for Freddy Krueger is fucking gorgeous. It just makes the game even more enjoyable now.
Springwood?
Yeah. I'm about to spring wood on you, dude.
Yeah, I'm about to Springsteen on you.
We call that naked man. That's how you're guaranteed to get laid.
We call that naked man.
Yeah.
You want to watch Roadhouse?
You invite somebody over to your house, and then like when you answer the door, you're just butt naked, and you're just like, hey,
naked man. We call that naked man.
Yeah. It works.
So naked man Springwood.
It's not just a clever name.
Yeah.
It's a shitty Beatles.
We colloquially call that naked man. Have you heard of it?
What does that entail, this naked man thing? I know.
Don't I just told you.
I got you.
Invite somebody over and then answer the door naked. Mm. And they're just like, damn, well, there it is. Let's fuck.
Well, there you go. Anything else?
Nah, that's totally it. Fuck. That's all of it. Oh, I'm moving. That's cool. Ugh. No, I mean, it's tight, though, because like our place is much smaller, but it's got a yard.
It's super tight. Our place is super small, and we don't have any room to move around. But
$600 cheaper, but we have a huge patio and a huge yard and an outdoor gungeon now. Well, soon outdoor gungeon. So that's going to be tight.
Okay.
Another place for Rhett to flake on me.
Wow.
I went consecutively like 5 weeks in a row.
And then he flaked consecutively.
And then I went to Vegas.
Yeah.
And then I worked.
Yeah, but when you went to Vegas, what happened?
Well, I got there late. I got a window to go to the gym for an hour next to my house. Over to your fucking place.
I text
place.
You and I'm like, hey, you this coming fucking guy. You coming by? And you're like, this oh, I forgot. I'm going to Vegas today.
No, I didn't. I said that I was able to fucking get. Oh, you mean, I see what you're saying. The morning. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I said I totally fucking. Yeah, I did. I was like, oh, I'm going to Vegas. I need to get fucking ready.
Yeah.
Well, that's me being, forgetful. So if you want to judge me.
Oh, I do. I did. I am.
Then
judge me. Judge me not, lest you be judged first.
You know who said that?
If only God can judge you, I bear a striking resemblance to Jesus.
DMX said that. DMX said that.
Well, that's tight.
So get fricked.
Yeah. You know what else he said? Arf, arf.
Oh, come on, dude. You don't know the depth.
That's not how he said it.
And the depravity of DMX.
He doesn't say, he goes, arf, arf.
Yeah, same thing. That's what I said. Arf, arf. Y'all going to make me lose my mind.
That one's good. Which one's your favorite?
Rhett.
What?
What'd you watch?
Oh.
Like, what's your DMX favorite DMX
song? What was
that
thing you were watching with that bunny?
The Easter Bunny?
Yeah, what
That's
was
Bill
it?
And Ted's Bogus Journey.
Oh, is it?
That shit's fucking scary. That is has it? Always been scary to me.
I was like, what the fuck is that? I thought it was like a Happiness of the Cat to
from all the hell. It's from all the hell stuff.
They go to hell and they have their personal...
What?
He hasn't seen it in a long time.
I saw it like in the early 90s, and that was it.
Now he gets to act like you're superior to Bill and Ted. That's what he's going to do.
I'm not acting superior. He just acts so
uninformed,
ambivalent to like great pop culture.
It's not ambivalence. It's apathy.
It's just you haven't watched it since the early 90s.
Yeah, I just don't care.
I'm going to leave it alone, you know? Because it hurts my feelings.
Leave me alone.
Just leave me alone. I appreciate. Wait. We don't have the context for that or anything.
No, you can't just.
Two or three people are like, fuck yeah, that's my favorite part of the song.
It's like you and Moon Boy.
That's my favorite part of any song, maybe now. Like,
I think that, oh, mommy, please no. Or is it daddy?
That's too much. Like, this is like them being subtle. That's, like, they're going inward.
Yeah, it's like,
I appreciate it. Easier said than done.
Like, I love the little, like, Tai Chi he's doing.
Yeah, you can, like, listen to it in the car and, like, wave your finger and shit, like, at nobody.
It's like Destiny's Child?
Yeah. Or it's like backup singers of fucking James Brown, you know what I mean? No? Okay.
Yeah, no, yeah. I do know what you mean.
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure and Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey I watched because, hi, Sophia, we're prepping to watch the third one, which I haven't watched yet, but she had
butt
not
cheek.
Seen... But she, like yourself, had not seen either since the time they came out. And those movies are fucking pretty delightful. And a lot of people I was talking to online and fans of the show, they seem to like Bogus Journey more, which I guess, you know, death is in it and they go to the afterlife. I still think Excellent Adventure, just the momentum's better.
It's the more excellent adventure.
It's more excellent. But Bogus Journey, you got handed to them. They, you know, where do you go after that? And they did some new shit. And death is that guy, what's his name? Sadler? What's his name?
Yeah.
He's fucking having a ball, dude. He's having his balls, you know? He's just, don't look at me like that, George. I'm not going to follow up the joke with the balls. Then we continued our Mystery Science Theater fucking
bonanza.
It's fantastic. Like, and again, if people are interested, they have episodes on YouTube, but if you go to mst3k.com, like, all these fans put all the episodes to stream for free on there, which is just cool that the community does that. And you get to see, like, how many people are watching each episode at that time, because apparently they're having, like, watching parties still. Anyway, we watched a movie called Hobgoblins. Have you ever heard of this fucking horror movie from 1988?
Mm-hmm.
You have?
Mm-hmm.
It's bad, dude. It's fucking like a Gremlins ripoff. Like, yeah. It's fucking really worth watching. It would be worth watching without them riffing on it.
Have you seen Mac and Me, Rhett?
Oh, God, yeah.
Okay.
I saw Mac and Me in the theater. That's when I saw as a kid, and I was with this buddy, Adam. Not the Adam, you know, another one. And he's all, I thought it was great. And I was like, that was awful. That was horrible. I was like 7. I was like, fucking Leonard Maltin about this thing. I was like, no, it was awful, you know?
Okay.
So it's clearly a 90-minute McDonald's commercial.
And why was he in a fucking wheelchair? Remember, you know, anyway.
Because so, it's like, yo, representation.
Have you seen the deleted scene where that kid actually gets shot in his fucking wheelchair?
Yes.
No.
It's incredible, dude. He just gets shot and he just like slumps over in his wheelchair. It's the best thing ever.
That movie.
And then when he yeets himself down that hill into the fucking lake.
I love that Paul Rudd just took that and ran with it. And every time he does a talk show now, he's like, yeah, I'm in this new movie called whatever.
Well, fuck, dude,
and
he did it for Avengers, man.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Here's a new clip from Ant-Man. And it's like the fucking kid going down the hill in the wheelchair.
That's pretty good.
That's a good bit.
Paul Rudd's a treasure.
He is.
Another one we watched on Mystery Science Theater was called Time Chasers. So it's a time travel movie.
Mm-hmm.
And time travel is a wanky genre. And when it's a bad B-movie.
A wanky genre?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, right? It can be, when it's bad, yes, it's bad.
That's what it was.
And it's 1991, and it looks like it's 1970, and it's fucking, it's awful. But we had just seen Tenet for the third watch, which remains a fucking fantastic movie, by the way. Now I'm like convinced of its masterpieceness.
Yeah, sitting at a super high 74. I know how important that is.
It is important. You look at movies upon release, okay? And honestly, I get it that this is far and away the most confounding movie this fuck has done. Like, it, you know. The only film I've seen that is like that, and it's more complex though, is Primer. But Primer is not a $200 million spectacle, so it's not what people, you know. They're like, whoa, I'm entertained by this and I'm completely fucking confused the rest of it. So I wanted to see if it hangs together. And then, like, now it's been two other views. It fucking hangs together and it's like,
it's magnificent.
It hangs together even better, dude.
Just nodding politely.
It does. But Time Chasers, watching that after Tenet, it was tight because I kept saying, this is just like Tenet. So I think Christopher Nolan ripped off this fucking B movie from 1991 called Time Chasers. Yeah.
Speaking of Tenet, that Dune trailer looks real good.
I thought you were going to fucking...
No, that looks way good.
I saw some things on the internet that upset me.
About what? Spoilers?
On Facebook.
Spoilers?
Yeah, he sent me fucking screenshots. Oh. No, people saying that this looks a lot like Blade Runner 2049, which is funny.
A disappointment.
Funny because it's the same director, so that means that they're recognizing signature fucking like... Somehow they're recognizing signature moves.
I didn't see Blade Runner 2049, so I didn't get any of that. I was just like, ooh, this looks good.
Hell yeah, it does, dude.
Looks nothing like it did in my head movies
when
I read the book.
And then there was somebody else dropped this fucking video of the comparison between the new trailer and the old trailer. People were like, see, it's so derivative. And I go, fuck.
And here's the thing, too.
I don't know.
We fuck, you fuck,
we all
she fuck.
Fuck,
we all fuck.
Denis Villeneuve, too, I'm sure he did
what
take
did you just say?
He's one of the best.
The elements of the original Dune that David Lynch did, that David Lynch hates the movie, by the way. He said it's the worst.
That's good, because most people hate David Lynch movies.
No, Matt, that's not true.
It's good that he at least recognizes that he makes trash.
No, he doesn't recognize that. But Dune, well, he just said Dune he was hates not it. A fun, he hates, he's not a fan of Dune. He did not have a good time making it. There was a lot of studio interference, but the visual aspect of Dune and the set design is not bad. There's not, the problem with the original Dune was not fucking, was not the visual aspect.
It's like, it's Sting and in a Speedo.
Well, it's a lot of things.
Yeah, is with the Speedo? Because like, I'm pretty sure there was no Speedo mentioned in the book, was there?
Well, you know, look, I mean, straight up, David Lynch shouldn't be making big budget sci-fi
Paul
epics.
In a banana hammock,
you know. But it's a rare opportunity to see David Lynch make a huge big budget sci-fi epic. By the way, he was offered Return of the Jedi. Did you ever hear that?
That would be weird.
George Lucas flew him via helicopter to Skywalker Ranch, thinking that would impress him. And David Lynch said he was ready to say no to whatever he asked already because of that. And he offered him Return of the Jedi, and he said he wasn't interested. So that's, add that to your thing. It's an interesting Google. David Lynch turned down Return of the Jedi. All
right.
Anyway, yeah, the Dune trailer looks pretty fucking good.
Hell yeah, it does. Yeah. I'm in.
Yeah.
Anything else, Rhett?
I watched Train to Busan. I forgot to mention that last week. When we were in Vegas, we watched in the hotel room.
What'd you think?
Honestly, how you been? I thought it was pretty fucking entertaining, dude. I thought it was pretty, I like their rules. They set up some rules regarding the light and regarding like covering up the, you know, when they're in the dark. I like that it was on, obviously on the train, that it became more, it's kind of an action film take on the thing. I like that it's an isolated environment, but then at the end it goes like, it keeps going. I like the fucking thing it's set up with like class warfare on the fucking thing. And there's that rich fuck. And then there's that room full of people where they immediately tell those people they can't stay there. And then they get fucked. I liked all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard and read that the sequel is not as good as
it's not as good. Yeah, it's whatever. I've heard the animated prequel is quite a bit better.
When George did not like Train to Busan.
I don't like it.
No, I know you guys said that. Did you see it, Matt?
I have not seen it.
I think we should.
Oh,
now, I'll watch it again.
Now you're pro Korea, huh?
I've been pro fucking Korea.
Have you?
I've been pro North Korea as a matter of
fact. Name three
BTS
songs, Rhett.
BTS? Name three Koreans. I
Dynamite, Ho Chi Minh, and Fuck Me Now.
Wow,
that was hella racist.
Jesus Christ!
But at least you got Dynamite.
Just don't know
wrong.
The proper translation.
At least you got Dynamite right. Dynamite's tight.
All
right.
Is that about?
That wraps it up for what
is that
I watched.
About it? Well, speaking of Korea. I watched a little movie called Hashtag Alive.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
It was okay. cool little premise. Have either of you guys read World War Z?
No.
I tried to, but it was so fucking boring that I couldn't finish it.
Well, anywho, there's this section about it, in it, about it.
Or did I finish it?
In it, about, you know, like Japanese shut-ins, and I forget what the term is.
I'm sure Rhett knows. This is Korea.
Japanese shut-ins?
Hold on one sec.
They're called voila.
I'm pretty sure those are Middle Eastern shut-ins.
That's not really.
Do they even have W's?
The hikikomori. That's right.
Told you.
So it's basically like the hikikomori. Have
so you can make up words, but I can't.
Essentially, they have like hermited themselves in their own house. Like they don't want to go to work. They don't want to have relationships, blah, 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 blah. Well, one of the sections in World War Z specifically talks about one of them and how he has to like get out of his apartment to survive, or else he's just going to die of death.
Die of death.
He's gonna die of death.
And I it's kind of like that. Supposed to
dying of life.
Hashtag alive is kind of like that, where it is a person who has like not great social skills, and it's just him surviving in his apartment for basically like an hour and a half. Pretty cool concept. Pretty cool execution. There's a love interest, if you could believe it. The ending is balls. It's hot ass trash. Somehow they ended up going action movie ending, which pisses me right the fuck off about that film. But otherwise, it's a good little watch. I recommend it.
And Rhett, what movie did I just let you borrow?
You let me borrow a film called Riccio, The Story of Ricky.
So I just want that documented so everybody knows that I've let Rhett borrow Riccio.
Mm-hmm.
And why? Then we get to ask him about it every week.
Not yet.
For the next 6 months.
This motherfucker's trying to make me multitask right now. Okay.
Were you sending texts? You guys over there fucking flirting?
No, I got the alert for the Instagram post and then he deleted it.
Yeah, because fucking, you never mind. Riccio is the story of Liu Kang and he fights Shao Kahn and his evil monks. And it looks like there's a dude with four arms and a bunch Moro. Of... yeah, and a bunch yeah. of... well, there's a fat fucking guy, for real. And
is
then
there a fat fucking guy in Mortal Kombat?
No.
I mean, this one there is.
Has there ever been a fat fucking guy?
I mean, that
in
cop, they fucked up. That cop guy was kind of fat.
You know why? They're too like body freak conscious. The makers of that game clearly.
No, the cop Striker, was it Striker?
He wasn't fat.
He had a paunch.
He's only fat because he's a white cop. They're all he can be fat.
Yeah.
That's why he has more weapons to make up combat. For his fucking lack of physical.
Yeah, he's got guns because he's a cop. He's just gonna shoot.
There's
you.
A character named Bol Rai Cho who apparently is a jovial, obese, drunken master of the martial arts.
Oh, okay, there you go.
There you go.
So, well, they play Mortal Kombat. Like you can be a fat drunk.
Fucking
now.
Games.
Yeah,
now. Yeah. We
played the 10th one. I was not good at it. I'm not good at any fighting game. So there's that.
That's true. You are not.
I'm terrible at fighting games.
Marvel vs. Capcom.
Dude, let's fucking have a Marvel vs. Capcom tourney.
I'm pretty good at Marvel vs. Capcom.
That I will. Fuck
not you.
You
won't anymore. You haven't. You haven't touched the blade.
I will. You fuck did. You.
You fuck on me.
I will fuck
you. Fuck. You. I fuck you.
It's a timing thing. I once you got you. It.
Yeah, you
got
don't
it.
Got the muscle memory anymore.
Yeah I do.
It's gone, dude.
Shit,
especially God. The modern
I'm gonna fuck you.
Modern
up.
Iterations of it, dude. Nah. You're gonna get fucked.
Marvel, we'll go to.
I'll fuck you up.
We'll go to Left Hand Black. You'll get your Johnny Five tattoo. We'll play Marvel vs. Capcom.
Oh no,
2.
It's in the arcade though.
What do you mean it's in the?
It's in the. It's in the. Is it in the arcade?
They have like, it.
Do they have a cabinet?
Yeah.
Oh, we're gonna get fucked. He's good on the fucking cabinet.
Fucking destroy you.
On a controller, we would have a chance.
On the controller, I'll still fuck you because it's like press three buttons. Press there is your middle, your fierce. Your middle, your fierce. On press both top buttons.
Nah.
At the same time.
Watching Red do this.
Push both buttons with
that's
one
how
finger.
It's fucking. It's lame.
You're lame.
It's even easier.
You're lame.
It's all about defense, dude.
You know what else is lame? Candyman getting fucking pulled.
You don't know shit about
next year, sometime.
Whatever. Randomly. Just let it finish whenever it finishes.
Antebellum is coming out this month, and the reviews are not good.
I can't imagine why.
So reviews are important now?
No, it's a fact. I'm just saying the reviews. All I'm saying, I'm just stating a fact. The reviews are not good so far.
I thought they changed their name from Lady Antebellum to Lady A.
No, actually, they changed their name from Dixie
it's
Chicks,
a quarter
Chicks
after to the Dicks. One, to the I'm Dicks. All Chicks with alone Dicks. And I need you now. That's the song right there.
You like that one?
Yeah.
I like...
Thought I wouldn't call, but I lost all control and I need you now.
Ugh. Did you ever hear Alison Krauss
and
Robert
I don't
Plant?
Know how I can do without...
This is Matt's version of...
I
one,
just
two,
need
three,
you
four,
now.
Five, six, yes. Seven, eight.
That's rough.
9, 10.
Any news we should get to, Matthew?
There's that about Candyman. I heard about a Metroidvania, George.
Oh, shit.
Called Ender Lilies, Quietus of the Nights.
I really don't like the name.
That doesn't sound good.
It's a mouthful. It insists upon itself. But
I'll give you a mouthful.
Look, dude, it's simple.
That insists upon itself.
Binding of Isaac, Neon itself. Abyss. Dead Cells. Keep it simple. Don't give me fucking gobbledygook titles.
Ender Lilies.
Ender Lilies? What's the whole thing?
Ender Lilies, Quietus of the Night.
Fuck off.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
He already... Can even if the game was good, he can't get behind
it. Can you fucking blow me where the Pampers is, dude?
It sure can.
Jesus.
Blow you where the Quietus is.
What's the game
is?
About?
Can you
it's
blow
about
me?
3 hours.
concerns Lily, the last surviving priestess in a land devastated by an endless rain that turns people undead. Awakening in a church with no memory of recent events, Lily turns to exploring beyond the safety of the sanctuary to find the source of the rain. Along the way, Lily can summon the spirits of purified undead to protect her.
You know what? You know what makes fucking Metroidvania's real good? A really long, boring, drawn out fucking story. That makes them really fun because, you know, that's what I give a fuck about.
That kind of makes it Last of Us. The only other thing that I saw that was actually really interesting is that Disneyland is bringing the Haunted Mansion to the PS4. So if you have VR, you can travel through the Haunted Mansion with the 999 ghastly grinning ghouls.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Right? Yeah. I guess they did something like that for the Indiana Jones ride. And then they were talking about they could do it for Space Mountain and the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror and Pirates of the Caribbean, but they actually did the Haunted Mansion.
The Haunted Mansion is probably the best suited for that. That's incredible.
I don't know if it's like you're walking through the mansion or if it just simulates the ride itself, you know, and goes through the same rooms. But,
either way, I mean,
it should still be pretty
tight. If it was just the ride itself, I'd be super stoked.
Yeah, just plop your kids on the couch, put a PS4 VR on them and scare the shit out of them. That's pretty fun.
Oh man. We took the kids through the Haunted Mansion. Quinn was not a fucking fan.
Really?
Yeah.
The ghosts,
everything.
You know, I was talking to Moonboy this morning, and he was saying that Universal Florida is still doing like some haunted houses during the day.
Okay.
So I guess they're open. The one here in California has been closed through the end of the year.
Oh, fucking course is Florida. Florida's like the shithole of everywhere.
Florida don't give a fuck.
Florida's like the Florida of Florida.
It's yeah. America's Wang.
And America's like the Florida of the earth.
Self got him?
That's so true.
That's an auto yeet.
So accurate.
Did y'all see that there's like evidence that there's life on Venus now? Venus. That Venus hosts life, not like intelligent, conscious life, but there's like methane.
Yeah, we're the only intelligent type of life.
There's just a bunch of Matt Smiths out there on Venus.
It was like phosphate gas or something found in so it's like phosphate gas found in the atmosphere, but only things that can create that are like human activity, or not human, but living activity. So they're thinking that there's microorganisms like in the clouds around Venus. And
this is a big part of the conversation too, that people have to redefine what they categorize as life.
Yeah.
I'm glad they figured that out.
I mean, single cell organisms are, you know, still life, but it's life.
Not, but
well, there might be gaseous life. There might be fucking also, there might be, yeah.
The thing is now there is evidence that there is
the clouds might be alive, bro.
There is life on our closest neighbor planet. So that's pretty tight. It's like sci-fi is coming to life. Sci-fi is coming to life every day.
It is, and it's not even top news, you know?
I remember Alia, when we first met, telling me, like, if you see something in a sci-fi movie, that tech will be real within, like, 20 years. And now, like, you know, just with the way technology is exponentially getting
I mean, Alia is super wrong on that point, but okay.
I mean, is she?
I mean,
she's not wrong about, it's not for everything.
I mean, maybe not like a 20-year timeline, but, you know, like...
A good example, example is Star Trek Next Generation, right? Like, I remember watching it. They didn't have buttons. They had panels that were flat. And I'm like, wow, we're a long way off from that. No, we're not. Like, we got all that shit.
Oh,
you
mean Next Generation?
Yeah, Next Generation. Yeah. Likewise. And then, like, Star Trek and Next Generation with the, you know, cordless fucking communicators.
Yep.
Like, we're a long way off for that. No, we're like way beyond what they have communication wise.
Seeing people like talking into their watches and shit. And it's like, oh, that's never going to happen. Now you can watch movies on your watch.
We're nowhere close, as far as we know, with space travel.
Do you watch porn on your watch?
Do I watch porn on my watch?
Yeah. Can you do that?
I don't think so.
Would you?
On my watch?
Yeah.
I don't know. It depends on what hand I'm wearing it on that day, I guess.
I don't want to hear about
that. You put it on your off hand, right?
I mean, I switch.
Are you in? What?
Yeah.
That's some.
No, because sometimes
that's some serial killer
like,
shit, brother.
I work out and I get like sweaty, so sometimes like part of my arm will get like a little raw. I have to switch to the other arm while like you know the skin gets better in there.
Make it fucking raw, dude.
Yeah,
just get it raw.
Just do it raw, dude.
Hella sweaty. It's big wool. Dude.
All right. Anything else?
No, that's it.
Okay, well, we're gonna take a quick break. Talk about a movie. We were.
I gotta pee. Hella. It's not good.
Hey.
That's what I don't say.
Hey, bros.
That's totally it.
Hey, bros.
But like, what did the critics give it, dude?
Hey. You look like 60-something percent.
Bros.
What did the people give it?
About the same.
Guess what?
We're freaking back.
We're back. Who used to say it like that?
I don't even want to say.
Okay.
I don't want to bring any attention to that fucking show.
Oh.
It's the Wacky Morning DJ Show.
The tables.
You're back.
What was our Wacky Morning DJ name?
J-Dog and the Douche.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was a thing.
That's J-Dog. Because his name the starts with a J.
That's the Douche.
What would my name be on that show?
The retard.
J-Dog the Douche and the retard.
J-Dog the Douche
doesn't even
and
have
Red.
A ring to it.
And Red.
There you go.
Retard.
Better.
Yeah, that's the retards. That's your fan group.
Yikes.
Join Red's fan club, the retards, today.
Get out of here.
Fucking
that's
Patreon.
I've had enough.
Yeah. I've had enough. I'm out.
Yeah. Patreon, defend me. One person.
Who would it be?
Jacob.
You think it would be Jacob?
What do you mean, Jacob? There's Jacob quite
would,
a few.
I think Jacob would pile on.
You think?
Yeah.
No.
He'd pile on because he's in on the joke, dude.
That other Jacob, I haven't seen him in a while either. Jake.
Which, what?
Jake, the San Diego Jake.
Jake this the Snake.
Fascinating Patreon content, or, show content.
Anywho, the Who Goes There podcast was 2001's Session Space 9. Odyssey. Directed and written by Brad Anderson, starring David Caruso, Stephen Gavidin, Paul Guilfoyle, Josh Lucas, Peter Mullen, Brendan Sexton III, Charlie Sexton. Broderick, Lonnie Farmer, Larry motherfucking Fessenden.
I knew that was his ass.
The moment I saw him, I was like, good. Ronnie was like, she was like, what the fuck is wrong with you? I was like, it's fucking Fessenden.
I was like, is that the Fessenden? I was like, I don't know, maybe. And then I saw he's missing a tooth
Hold the fuck on. Fessenden. Who is this?
That's a guy. That dude.
He's Larry. He's the guy who comes in about two thirds of the way in the movie and just gets.
No, I know the replacement fuck.
Yeah.
But
he's a character actor in horror films.
He's in like everything. He directed that Frankenstein movie, Depraved, that we did.
That's what it was. Fascinating. That's why I recognize the name.
He's been in like everything.
He was in We Are Still Here. He was in Stakeland. He was in Jugface.
He's basically like Danny Trejo without the recognition.
Okay.
Hmm.
There you go.
That's pretty.
This is the first and last time that sentence will be uttered.
Brand new sentence.
Brand new sentence for sure. Hey, Rhett, what'd you think of Session 9, my dude?
I really, really, really enjoy this movie. I hadn't seen it in about 5 years. I saw it about 5 or 6 years ago on Netflix, and I had read about it from a couple different lists and all that kind of stuff. And then I remember I watched it a couple times. Within a couple of days of each other, because I really liked it. Atmosphere, it was great. It has one of the best locations. I don't want to speak hyperbolically or to exaggerate. I think it's one of the best locations in a horror movie. I mean, it really does. Mm-hmm. It's a real place too. I was looking that up with the Wikipedia and all that.
I have been to that place.
Well, I was reared in that place.
What? You were weird in that place?
I was reared.
Oh, like
I was rear-ended.
In your asshole?
No. But what the hell was I saying? Oh yeah.
Hey, Session 9. Something about you rearing a child.
Yeah. I think making use of it's just so minimal, like making use of a tape recorder and then the way it builds tension, the dialogue and everything. Initially I'm like, oh, I hope this gets better in the first 5 minutes.
But, in the first 5 minutes.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm like, okay, this is my opening.
To be fair, all the dialogue that isn't like.
To be like 5 minutes in, though, and you're already like.
Your opening shot is when the movie starts, dude. Like, so I go by that. I don't like, I'm not like, oh, we'll see how it goes. Like, it matters. Like, so that's what I mean. Once they start like establishing the characters, I'm like. Cool. This is good. But it didn't have much personality to me or anything. I'm just like, these dudes are talking in a car. Okay. You know? And then I didn't know if my memory of the movie was better than what I thought, but it wasn't. And as it went on, like, all the dialogue starts sounding very natural to me. Like it starts sounding like stuff people would actually say, how guys actually kind of interact. The movie's like 20 years old now too. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I really enjoy the movie and I would recommend it, almost without hesitation to most horror fans. But then if people are expecting some kind of gratuitous payoff,
I don't know. Kind of, yeah, we'll get to it. We'll get to it. We'll
I want to, I mean, yeah, it doesn't. Yeah. It's, yeah. I thought the ending, when it ends how it does and goes right to the credits, I love the bleakness of it and the understatedness of it, because you've already sat and like fucking stewed in those feelings for a while. And it conjures up some really creepy shit, like creepy feelings. It really does. So I like it.
What'd you think?
I've seen it a few times and it's been a long time since I've seen it, and it's still real good. The movie is very anti-children, very pro getting a good night's rest. It's a fun little whodunit kind
of. Is it anti-children?
Yeah, it's totally anti-children. Like,
I don't know.
We get into spoilers.
I don't agree with you necessarily.
The guy who kills his children is anti-children.
No. Okay.
We'll get there.
Okay.
Yeah. And, it's a, you know, it's a tight little whodunit, because even like watching it again, every character kind of has not a motive, but just like a thing about them that could potentially make them the villain in this. And then, you know, when you're watching it for the first time, it's kind of twisty and turny. And then you're like, oh, I guess that kind of makes sense. So, yeah, I like it quite a bit.
I got to admit, this is the first time I've seen Session 9. It's pretty good.
I figured neither one of you had seen it. So.
I did not expect to be as jarred by a lot of the movie. There's a lot of heavy shit going on, that's sort of juxtaposed by a lot of goofy dialogue, which I kind of enjoy. Like, fuck you.
Oh, that was good.
Fuck you. I'm not your princess,
fuck
man.
You. Yeah, David Carradine.
Yeah.
There's some good stuff, dude. And coming off of, you know, David Carradine.
Or whatever his name is.
There's no David Carradine.
That fucking red-haired fuck that used to be.
David Caruso.
Yeah, that guy.
So, you know,
he's coming, like an NCIS
coming
guy.
Out
That's
of the,
why well, I always
no,
hate that
but
guy.
Even better, dude, David Caruso, if you remember correctly, David Caruso was in a movie called, in a show called Silk Stockings. Was
that, oh, yeah.
Was
I David remember Caruso? That show. That I was never David watched Caruso. It.
And then he was in a movie called Jade.
Jade.
So
a sexual thriller, an erotic
yeah,
thriller.
Yeah, so he was 90s. In a lot of like sort of like psychosexual kind of weird shit in the
but
90s.
Trashy.
But like real trashy shit. So seeing him like in a movie, it's always so jarring to me, because I go, fuck, you don't belong in any of this. What are you doing?
Nobody's trying to fuck on you.
He didn't belong in those
you.
Either, because he's just a nerdy fucking redhead. Yeah, like he oozes.
Aren't they all?
He oozes no fuck. That like there's
not
no,
Michael Fassbender.
There's no like.
Well, I mean, he couldn't like he lost his girl because he oozes no fuck.
I guess the character continues the thread.
It's typecast.
But here's what I would tell you. I think that this movie is really great on a lot of fronts. I think that it does a lot of neat things with tension and tension building.
Yeah.
And it does a lot. You mentioned it earlier. It's a cool little whodunit, and it keeps you guessing until the very fucking end.
So what was, I'm glad this is your first time watching it. Cause like, you know, I get to experience like what you experienced. So like, who did you think was doing the stuff? What did you think was going on through the majority?
So
of the movie?
I like 10 minutes in, I really, really hoped that there wasn't like a ghost. Like that okay. was like, I was like, please don't.
But on that note, if there was, this is how you do a ghost story,
right?
Like, there's no jump scares in this, is there? There might be like one.
There's one or two, yeah.
But it's very subtle.
I was chatting with Ronnie about it, and I was like, I just hope they don't ghost me on this one. Like, I wanted it to be just straight up.
You didn't want It Comes at Night. You wanted there to be something.
Oh, come on, man. That's not.
Actually, It Comes at Night came up in my head while watching this, because it's surprising in a certain way that you like this to me, honestly.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't even know what it is about this. Like, I don't find this movie slow at all.
Neither do I.
And it's an hour and 40 minutes.
Hour 40, yeah.
I watched it Thursday of last week, maybe. And I had planned on watching it again. And the weekend just kind of got away from me with, you know, like the signing the papers on the new place. And, I watched it again today and I was like, fuck, like it's still good. Like, even though I just watched it like 3 days ago, it is
so, like, to me, I actually, the more I think about it, cause I don't want to overstate stuff about this movie, but I really think it's pretty fucking impressive. It's an example of doing as much as you can with almost, I don't want to say as little as possible. Cause they get considerable fucking mileage out of this location again.
Yeah.
But then it's a matter of what you do with it. Like the guy digging in the wall and finding the coins and finding the rings and finding the teeth. And then we see the other side of the wall that it's the fucking, the oven, the crematorium where they fucking burn corpse. And
that one scene was the thing I had like a minor issue with too. But I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I didn't have an issue with it. I just thought it's just like really effective. Cause it's like, it already conjures in your, it's like, dude, do you even know what you're fucking with? Like, do you even, and just the total lack of, it brings up all the regular stuff you hear about, lack of respect for the dead and all that.
Yeah.
And where the movie could really jump the fucking shark and just turn into a piece of shit is where it gets better to me. Like when he goes into that hallway and kind of, you know, disappears, and then the guys are wondering where the fuck he went the next day.
Yeah.
And you don't know either. And then when we see him again and it's like, what are you doing here? That shit works so well and it's so fucking eerie and feels so wrong to me.
Yeah, because the payoff for that ultimately is fantastic.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and spoilers, I guess, from here on out, because I mean,
for a 20-year-old movie.
Yeah. So, I mean, what you realize that, oh shit, he was lobotomized. So that's the last thing that was bouncing around his head at the time. Right. So like even the payoff for that little moment is fantastic.
When they build up to that too, they foreshadow that with the story the one guy tells about the person getting,
well, they, I mean, with the guy telling the story and then with him finding the, you know, the pick thing in the wall. So, my problem with the thing with the wall is very minimal, but those coins and everything are supposed to be metal objects that were put in the, what do you call them? I keep wanting to say infirmary.
Incinerator.
There you go. Thank you.
That thing.
You know, so it's like, okay, these metal objects didn't melt in the incinerator. But a lot of them still had like pieces of paper, like toe tags and strings on it.
Ronnie and I had sort of things to say about that too, because if it was an incinerator, none of the material would just survive.
Yeah.
Like even the teeth would have been at least gone. Broken. So I don't think that that's necessarily,
it might be stuff that was removed and someone was saving.
That's what I was thinking, that it was more of a rat hole than anything. Like not necessarily an incinerator, but somebody was like, oh, I'm going to keep this shit for later. Kind of thing.
Like they were incinerating people and removing the shit at the last possible.
Yeah. Minute. But then putting it back in the incinerator.
No, they were hiding it in the wall.
It seemed like it was more, to me, it seemed like it was more of a chimney instead of an incinerator.
Okay. Chimney.
Exactly.
Chimney.
The other thing too, I had to really like, I really had to turn my fucking like
D.
I had to turn my brain off a little bit, dude, because I was like looking at this place and I go, brother, even if you had like a year, you wouldn't be getting all the asbestos out of like, this fucking place.
Fuck off a week.
And I go, well, dude, they've reduced it down to 6 rooms.
If they had meth, they could do it.
You know,
one of them brothers was definitely on meth.
Most, I mean, Larry Fessenden probably was. Mike, the gambler, was. The nephew probably was.
Definitely.
I think the redhead, the lawyer, and Gordon were the only ones that weren't.
So, yeah, I mean, initially I was like, come on. They're fucking these guys. And the frustrating part is that, like, 2/3 of the movie, they're not doing anything.
Yeah.
So there's no sense of urgency to the actual job. So I wish they had just, like, gone away with that bit. But I do understand that they needed to give it a sense of, like, we got to get this shit done ASAP. So that's why everybody's nervous and, you know, and
that was great for tension building. That was great. We got an idea of their backstories from dialogue. So it's expository dialogue, right? That usually that could go south, but it sounds natural.
Yeah. It's very easily worked in.
Yeah. And well, you get the dynamic between the dudes. You get like a lot of the male, the machismo tension between them.
Yeah. Like, well, that moment when David Caruso's like, I've got her number. And everybody's like, how do you have her number? And he's like, just give me the fucking phone. I've got her number. Like that part is really like, you know, it's very effective.
Yeah. I liked his acting in this movie. And like you said, those movies that you mentioned and the stuff he usually does. And then he was on this fucking, that TV show, not Silk Stockings, that other shit.
CSI?
Fuck that. He was on CSI Miami.
CSI Miami,
which is even worse than regular CSI.
He's the one that the glasses taking off and putting on.
And imagine watching CSI Miami when like Dexter was on concurrently. What the fuck? Okay, anyway, so what the fuck was I talking about?
About the dialogue and the girl, the guy having her number, and
oh, the dude, the story that the guy who's who his backup plan is being a lawyer.
Yeah,
the story he tells near the beginning about the patient that caught that contributed to the closure of the place, right? And it ends up to be something that like she got it pulled out of. They were doing like memory retrieval shit with 80s therapeutic techniques, and it turns out to be stuff that she made up. But that story he tells is fucking like. So the images and ideas they put in your head via stories and dialogue, and then later on via the freaking the recorder, they're using like sound and just dialogue to create a lot of shit in your head.
So do you think that this movie is Gordon's memory retrieval therapy?
Oh, no, I wouldn't be surprised if that's a common interpretation of it.
Well, because there's like, you know, the lots of voiceovers where it's like, oh, Gordon, you need to wake up and remember. And they're talking about like doing hypnosis, memory therapy kind of stuff. So it kind of like when you get towards the end, it almost sounds like maybe Gordon is in therapy and he's recounting. Or, his I mean, own
even be that he as a child, he was maybe in that facility. I mean, that's
something that struck me too. I got kind of vibes of The Shining type deal. Perhaps they were all in that facility in some modicum or another. Maybe they were.
Oh, because that security guard did say he found six squatters in there. And were there six?
Well, maybe they all got pulled back.
There were six of them.
Well, and who knows? I mean, what are your guys' feelings in terms of like?
I don't think that's all supposed to be tied up with a bow. I think those are brought up as.
Yeah. Do you guys think that there's any supernatural things going on, or is it all purely asbestos madness?
I don't even think it's asbestos madness. So this is what I was saying, like when, you know, with my thoughts on the movie is how it's anti-kid and very pro taking good care of yourself and getting a nap, because they're talking the whole time about how tired he is and like he's never lost his cool, but there started to be cracks lately, but he's also got a brand new baby and it's been keeping him up and, you know, all this other stuff. So from what I gather from this movie is basically, because George, you remember what it was like when you first had Micah.
I think it's about those
like
fears.
How fucking tired you were. You were like a goddamn zombie for months. So I think this guy has a brand new kid. He's probably not sleeping. He's a little stressed about finances. So he's like really trying to throw himself into his work. That's why he's like, oh, we can do it in a week. He's like not thinking clearly because he's not sleeping. So he's taking on more work than he can do. I do this myself. Like, you know, I don't sleep very well because of working night shift. And I've had so many times where Ollie has told me, George has told me, like, you're doing too much shit. And that's because I'm not fucking in my right mind because I don't sleep. So I think that's it. When everything is revealed that he killed his wife and his kid and his dog, I think it's because he's just been so sleep deprived that it just kind of snapped in him, you know?
Well, see, the thing is, okay, whether to answer your question, Jorge, everything that they bring to the situation is everything you bring to the situation as a viewer. Like, you hear about the fucked up story, you hear about the asylum closure, you see how creepy the asylum is, and then you start, we hear the recordings along with the thing.
Right.
So whether this stuff is real or not, like,
sorry to interrupt. I was going to mention the recordings earlier. I like the recordings also because they almost provide a countdown.
It's the title.
You see it and you go, oh shit, when he hits nine.
Right.
Well, and then it even says on the first one, it says Princess Billy Simon, and then you hear a princess, and then they keep talking about Billy, and finally Billy shows up, and you're like, oh, fuck, well, we're going to get to Simon, and when Simon's the one, like, Simon's the one.
Sorry, man, I didn't mean to derail you too much.
No, it goes back to me for one of the first shows I did with you guys, which was more than a couple years ago now, which was Hereditary.
Fuck.
And like, yeah, there's supernatural stuff in that movie, but one of the scary things about Hereditary is not the supernatural stuff. It's the regular human shit.
Yeah.
And so same thing with Session 9 here. Whatever label you want to slap on it, like, it's the psychology of it. I mean, these people, it's all of it. All of it contributes, whether they believe it supernatural or not. And Gordo and all that kind of stuff. Do I think that anyone got possessed? No.
Do I think that they're in a in an oppressive environment with a lot of tension and a lot of contributing factors to a deteriorating mental state and tension building? Yeah.
Lots of stress.
Lots of stress. Yeah. All that shit is there. This other fucking dude is listening. He's already fucking, and I like that character, the Which guy, one? The lawyer guy. Like, because he's in, he's the one to get told the fucked up story. He's the one listening to the fucking thing by himself. Like, he's ditching them to go listen to the tapes.
Well, like, see, at every moment he can, too. That's the best part. Like, yeah. Like there were moments when he's like, I gotta go check the breakers. And I go, you're just gonna go jack off with those tapes, aren't you, you fuck?
Which is like, at it's first it's kind of like, do I believe this? Yeah, I believe it, because I can't, I want to hear more of that, too. Because The movie gets creepiest. It starts opening up these new ways of feeling fucking creepy with the tapes.
Yeah. Well, see, and it's best that it's him that finds him too, because like he tells you that story, that expo dump at the beginning, and that kind of leans into the thought of like, did you think it was like everybody else doing it throughout the movie? Because they really paint it like it's that
so
guy.
I was kind of going back and forth. The two characters that I thought were sort of in on it, for lack of a better word, were homeboy with the baby,
Gordon,
and then the guy listening to the tapes.
Okay, yeah.
So I kind of like switched back and forth, and I was like, there were times when I was like, obviously, Gordon is losing it.
Yep.
And from that first bit where you see him looking at his wife with the baby, I was like, they're dead. Immediately I was like, they're super dead. So you could. It gets telegraphed a little bit, but I don't even think that's a bad thing, because you knowing ahead of time that his wife and his
child. I didn't know ahead of time, I got to tell you. I didn't. I honestly, too, even having seen it before, I didn't remember that.
Okay. But, I guess because ultimately I'm always like, oh, they're fucking dead.
Yeah.
Because
you jaded, that's what you want.
Jaded horror fan.
Right.
See, but like, so that lawyer guy, they do a really good job of painting him to be the one, because like, when they show up, he's the one that gives you the expo dump about, he knows everything about the hospital and like the people that have been committed there. And then they have that scene.
It seems
where
a little
too
easy for
what's
him.
Cool
yeah,
about,
where he
what's,
puts the chopstick in the
what's
eye.
What's cool about his character is I think he's supposed to be us. Like, he's supposed to be the viewer.
What do you mean?
Because I think from a skeptic standpoint, he's the intellectual, right? And I don't mean that we're intellectuals. I just think that he's got that sort of removal from.
He's got some objectivity, so he's not getting as freaked out by the shit.
Right, so he's not necessarily thinking it's a ghost dad.
He's having more fun with it.
Yeah. And so I think that there are moments when you're like, oh, this motherfucker's killing everybody just to like...
You know, I never...
Well, see, and then they have that little confrontation between him and the redhead where, you know, he's like, oh, you know, I was thinking about going back to law school. And he's like, you shuck fiber in there with us. Like, so he insulted him too, and... To me, they really did a good job of painting him as the killer. And then the redhead guy, through the whole thing, you're realizing, like, one, he's got to work with a guy that he despises that is with the love of his life. Like, he stole his girlfriend, and he's got to work with this guy side by side and be civil. He is the number two in charge at this place, and he's constantly being talked down to by his boss. His opinions are being disregarded, where he says like it's going to take 3 weeks minimum, and then suddenly they're doing this shit in a week. And
yeah, it went from it's a month to 3 weeks to, oh, we're doing it in a week. It's like, fuck.
Yeah. And the boss is like questioning him at every turn, and he's like, you know, talking to him about like the Cholo guys he was talking to at the generator. So then it could be that guy. And then, you know, the nephew was just whatever. He's just an idiot. So I didn't think it was going to be him, but you never know.
Hello. Oh no, but yeah, what it does do is it plays with perspective a lot, though. Like, you're talking about when he's talking to the Cholos.
Yeah,
like when you see it from what's the main character, not the main character, but the boss's
Gordo.
Perspective. Gordo. When you see it from his perspective, that shit looks shady as fuck.
Yeah,
but then when you hear later, he's like, I was telling him to fucking he proposes the idea that he was telling about tagging.
And it's like, that's equally likely, but I didn't see it from that perspective initially. You know what I mean?
But then he was just buying weed from him.
And that's like, what it was, right? He was buying weed.
Yeah, he was just ultimately was buying weed from him, which is hilarious.
He rolled a sloppy ass doobie,
dude, too. Ronnie said the same thing. She was like, dude, I've never rolled a joint in my life, but holy fuck, does that thing look disgusting.
Well, see, that's great that he had secrets, but his secret is way less fucking serious than anything
his Gordo secret was is, I smoke it. Weed versus I've murdered my family.
Exactly.
Because Gordon, he had been working with a murdered family for a week because he
at least because I don't want to say at least that sounds about right
because I think
it's the after the first day
because they had got the bid
and he had told the guy we'll be here on Monday and we'll be out the following Monday when the guy had said paper on my desk by Friday, so it is sometime in the previous week. So if Gordon got the bid, went home that night and killed his family, he's been at work for at least, or his family's been dead for at least a week.
It's 3 or 4 days at that point, I think.
From the first day. Yeah. At least.
And yeah, I mean, I love that. I love that little moment because he goes home with flowers and treats because he's wanting to celebrate.
Tweets.
Thank you. Took a tweet. Oh, trick-or-treating is fucking gonna
be that's not gonna
whack
happen.
As fuck this year.
It's gonna be tight.
And I'm gonna have some disappointed children. I'm gonna have to kill them.
Yeah.
So they don't have to experience a bad...
And Halloween's on a Saturday.
A bad Halloween.
You might just have to get a babysitter.
Full moon,
have your mother,
Saturday.
Have your mother-in-law take him. Come over to our place on a Saturday.
Mm.
Outdoors. No kids.
No kids. Well, I don't even know what I was saying anymore.
You're talking about tweets. You're taking tweets to the house.
Yeah, and so, you know, that he has his psychotic break after he gets, you know, some fucking spaghetti water spilled on him. And I'm like, damn, dog, like, chill the fuck out.
Hell yeah.
It's just a burn.
Nah, dude.
That was a gnarly burn, though.
That could do
it? It's the timing, dude. It could be. It doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah, man. Like, you're exhausted and, you know, like, because I've done that.
This is white people talking.
I felt triggered as fuck in this movie just because, like... I have been there where like I'm so tired and like delirious and I'm just willing to snap on a motherfucker just for no reason.
You don't know homie.
Yeah. No, I mean, real, like, I've done it in text. Remember like we would have those group texts like back in the day and then like it would always be early in the morning and then like I would just fucking blow up like out of nowhere because I was exhausted going to school super early, getting off work and like. I was just irritable, super irritable.
Damn, you look good with your hair down, dude.
Thanks. Thank you.
Okay. Did you say thanks, bitch?
No.
Thanks, bitch.
No, I was going to say thanks, dude, but like the dude got caught in my mouth and I just said thanks.
Thanks, bitch.
Yeah, thanks, bitch.
I think that's better. Let's go with that.
Bitch.
Let's go with that narrative.
Oh, bitch. Yeah, but I mean, like, that's the thing, man. Like, take naps. Take, you know, good care of yourself. Get good sleep. Don't drink coffee after noon, you know? Like,
and then you won't kill your kids.
And then you won't kill your kid and your wife.
You know?
And like, have to have a really hard conversation with your coworker about how you hit her. You know?
That was
in that scene, even before. That's an interesting scene, and that's a tough scene because you don't see that scene very often in any film.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
And at that point, their fate is still up in the air, right? Like, oh, he could have just hit her at that point.
Yeah, we don't
especially
know.
Because of the way he conveyed that message, you know? Because you could feel the guilt in his delivery. Right. He's like, you know, what's the stupidest thing you've ever done? And
shitload of remorse.
Yeah.
Fucking David Cruz was like, I don't know. I drank a beer one time. And then he goes, I hit my wife.
But I mean, David Caruso, his response is great because he's like, you know, I wish I wouldn't have introduced Mike to Amy. Like, that was pretty fucking stupid. I wish I had that one back. Like, he knows. Like, you know, he introduced his girl to some dude, and they fucking smashed. And slang a dick like a new jack. And that guy just, you know.
Hey, look, he's got a sweet fucking goatee thing. He can fuck.
Hell yeah. And he likes scratchers.
Yeah.
You know, he wants to be a card dealer. Like, you know, that's ambition.
To return to a few minutes ago when you asked if anything supernatural, like, again, no, not overtly, but look, what dissociative identity disorder, right? Which has been covered in other movies.
Yeah.
But this does, I mean, this has the benefit of just having tapes.
Yeah.
So you can't critique if it's sensationalized as much as say something
it's
got like
receipts, dude.
Split or something like that, you know. But anyway, you know, if you take abnormal psych and all this stuff, what they'll do when they talk about dissociative identity disorder, they don't talk about what so much. They talk about how, for instance, people in extreme trauma create these alters. They call them alters. They create other personalities to deal with different aspects of the trauma. Now, do they know exactly how this happens? Do they know exactly what's going on? Is the personality that's speaking any less real than the regular personality, et cetera, et cetera? All that shit is still very mysterious. And it would always be like really mysterious because you can't measure it and all that. So regardless if you want to call that supernatural or what, it is fucking mysterious and it is spooky and it's extremely fucking, it's a new science. Like calling psychology a science, it's not a pseudoscience, but it's not an exact science.
Right.
They don't know exactly what's the
where they define what's the book, the
DSM,
the DSM is always, it's constantly evolving. Like they're constantly changing things and whatnot. Cause I had always heard that like
in the 70s, homosexuality was a psychological deviant, disorder.
I had always heard that multiple personality disorder in this manner where like you dip in and you dip out of somebody new and then that person's hidden from the other. Like I had always heard that stuff was basically fake. Like the person knew.
No, absolutely not.
It's not?
No.
Okay.
No, that's dissociative identity disorder. And it's usually a result of extreme trauma. Extreme trauma. No, it's not fake.
But like that sort of thing where a person, like five different personalities can live in a person, that's a for real disorder?
Well, because... Well, Jorge, what it means is your personality itself is a construct by, you know, it's very thin. Like you start taking it apart and you look right past it and there's not much there. Sorry, but there's not. Now, I know that's a hell of a thing to say on this podcast where we're all personalities, but there's not much there, man. It's a swinging door that blows back and forth, you know, and you say I. Like it's
so is sexuality, dude.
That's right. on that note, you want to fuck?
Hey, have you got a finger up your butt yet?
No, I have before. I've had things up my butt.
Y'all keep talking about that. I'll be right.
Wait, but yeah, so I don't want to, you know, get, but.
Keep talking about things up your butt.
I don't want to.
No, what that dissociative identity disorder points out is actually the fickleness of personality itself, you know, because if one of them, how are the alternate ones any less real than the real one?
Well,
none of them are measurable.
Like, you know, aren't they? It's kind of like a coping mechanism, right?
What the personality is.
Yeah, it's like you fracture your personality to help you deal with different things. You know, that's why they say that, like, the princess lives in the tongue because she's always talking, and Billy lives in the eyes because he sees everything, and then Simon is like, you know, kind of the enforcer, and he lives in the, what was it, the weak and the wounded? That's fucking hard, right?
The last line, I live in the weak and the wounded.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Whether it's supernatural, psychology, whatever label you want to slap on it, he lives in the weak and the wounded. And then it fucking fade to credits.
Yeah.
That's fucking great.
That's the thing, is Simon is like is Simon fight or flight? Is he like self-preservation?
Well, I think it's related to that.
I think Simon represents all the things in your personality that are quote unquote harmful.
The shadow, the repressed stuff.
So if this person did mushrooms, what do you think their trip would be like?
They've done that. That's why you should watch Altered States. They've done that kind of stuff. Like, for instance, schizophrenics tend to actually mellow out when they take, I shouldn't say all of them, but quite a few of them had really positive reactions to LSD.
Well, they're using LSD, they're using in small doses, they're using for
all sorts of
psychopathy, right?
Yeah, including addiction.
They're using a lot of psilocybin too.
Yeah. Now, hallucinogens are, well, because what they do is they shake up, at the very least, it shakes up habitual thought patterns. So you can see outside of your people are creatures of habit, and like you fucking spend years carving a literal neural pathway, like without even talking about anything abstract. Even if you're just talking about the architecture of the brain, there are literal fucking paths, and you tend to use the same paths over and over again. So an addict, it's hard to fucking, it's hard to teach an old dog new tricks. It's hard to carve a new fucking canyon in your brain.
Right.
Yeah. And you gotta shake up the fucking thing a lot of times.
Mushrooms help you do that.
They help.
And that's why the government doesn't want you to do it. It's because they don't want you enlightened.
Well, it's one of those things, dude.
Not even, you know, being a smart ass man, but like taking mushrooms, it's like one of the best experiences I've ever had, you know? Like you feel like you kind of just learn who you are, and you kind of just learn your place in the universe. And like,
we're doing altered states,
even
now, dude.
Even for like weeks. No, we're gonna after, do shrooms
next time. Have like, you ever done? Have you ever done DMT?
No, I would though. No. Joe Rogan, if I could find it.
No, I mean, I've told you guys, I'm the last guy to bash fucking hallucinogens or anything. I've been sober. I've had my time with them, you know, but I'm glad I had my time with those.
Yeah.
Including the bad trips, because those showed me a lot. It was like, oh, you're like, your personality is a fucking puppet show. Cool. Good job, dude.
It may have been 15 months since I've had any alcohol, but like I'll do mushrooms anytime. Like those are
You have that luxury. I don't care to find out what happens if I. That's a huge head change.
You know, like we could just do them together and we'll just pet each other. Oof. It'd be super fun.
I'm gonna just pet Jorge.
He's a little fuzzy.
True. What the fuck are we talking about? I don't know. I think we're good. Are we good? Anything else we want to hit?
Wait, I want to talk about the director. He did his follow up.
What else did he do?
The Machinist. Did you ever see that?
I want to say wait, Christian Bale? Is it the one where Christian Bale got all skinny?
Yeah.
No, I haven't seen that.
Ooh, that movie's fucking good. I don't think I've seen that. That was I liked that movie a lot in the O's when it came out, and I haven't watched it probably.
In the O's.
In the O's. What do you call them? The aughts?
Yeah.
Either whatever you choose, it
the
sounds
early
stupid.
Early 2000s.
In the first decade of the new century.
There you go. Ugh. It just rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, I really like it. And that's another bleak fucking movie. And it's another movie, I mean, where your protagonist is in for some rough truths ahead of him, you know? And then he did a movie called Trans-Siberian, which I've always heard good things about, but I've never watched. But then he kind of fell off, and it seems like he's done a lot of garbage since.
Have you watched a Serbian film, Rhett?
No.
I'd really be interested in your take.
I don't want to, you know, I've heard, man.
You have to experience it, though.
Do you?
Yeah.
You I don't know, dude.
Yeah, hell
I do. All right. Well, I mean, look, I think we're all pretty positive on fucking session 9.
Yeah. I'm very positive.
I definitely think if you're listening to the show, fucking go watch session 9 if you haven't seen it already. It's good.
Fuck yeah.
And we really, I mean, anything that we've spoiled, so to speak, I think even as your first viewing, if you've never seen this movie, I think it's still going to be super worth a watch.
Yeah. I think the building is demolished now and they built apartments, but I went out there in 2003, 2005, something like that. And I didn't get to go like to the front of the building. We just like kind of did the little loop in front, but the road to get there was the scariest road I've ever been down in my entire life. It was very much like a horror movie because it was like a one lane dirt road where if you stick your hand out the window, you're like slapping tree branches. It's very narrow, very dark, very spooky.
That's tight. Right.
It's fun stuff.
Cool, man.
This is in Massachusetts, right?
Yeah.
That's tight.
That's session 9. We were all pretty positive on it.
Yeah, I'm glad.
What do you guys want to do next week?
I don't know, dude. We'll figure
Two
it out.
Two chicks at the same time, man.
Tomorrow or Friday or something. I don't know.
Figure it out super late and have 36 hours to watch it.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out tonight.
Maybe by next week, this episode will be posted. I mean, the current
don't
episode
count on
will be posted.
It,
next week, the episode we recorded last week will be posted.
Yeah. One of these things. Hopefully. This is all like Tenet.
Hopefully something's posted by next week.
What if we just release 3 episodes at one time?
There you go.
Fuck.
That fucks.
All right, you dumb fucks. That's it for the Who Goes Here podcast episode 277. We hope you've enjoyed your time with us this evening or this morning or this afternoon. Whichever,
I don't care if you've
whichever time
your time
of day you bring us along for the ride. If you're at work, fuck.
Do you
quit
care
your job.
Do you care about what?
If you're at home, kill your baby.
Hey,
see, it's in his head, dude. It's in
always
his head.
In his fucking. It's the session Told 9 you. Is still available on Netflix.
I've been
right?
session 9. It's officially.
No, is it on Netflix?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Yes.
Are you fucking serious?
Did you pay for it?
I own it on DVD. I legally downloaded it last week, and then today I rented it on Amazon. God
tight.
Damn
it's on,
I was
it's
happy
on,
to see it was still on Netflix.
It's on Netflix.
God, if you want to watch it.
Damn yeah. it.
And it's pretty well received for the most part. I mean,
well, it's one of those that's got mixed reviews, and it's, you know, for good reason.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm on the camp, and again, now it's considered a bit of a cult film. Like, look, it does a lot of fucking stuff with.
I feel like the negative reviews are probably from people that didn't get what they wanted. You know, like they thought it was going to be a ghost movie or something like that, and they were disappointed.
I just think they didn't get down with the fucking vibe of it. It's actually a very unique film, too. I mean, it gets a lot of mileage out of a fucking tape recorder, dude.
They're probably all people who are well-rested and have never, like, you know, like...
Think of something, some piece of shit like the Poughkeepsie tapes and how badly it botches this kind of shit, mm-hmm. you know? And
Split botched the shit, too.
Well, you mean as far as the dissociative identity disorder?
We know Split was good. Glass sucked.
Glass was awful.
Glass was, yeah.
We had a fun time with that one.
Split was good.
All right, nerds. That's it. We'll see you next week.
I'm not going to worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever going to be all right, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.